Kol Nidre, 5768. Finding acceptance from God, each other, and ourselves. Rabbi Stephen Pierce tells the story. A prince, to the horror of his parents, thought he was a rooster. He made his home under the table and refused all human food, preferring to peck corn from the floor. The parents of the prince spared no expense trying to cure their son. The greatest doctors, philosophers, sages, even a few tarot card readers were brought in to try to heal the prince, but they all failed. One day, a man arrived and announced that he could heal the prince. Hope turned into skepticism as the man took off his clothes and joined the prince under the table, crowing. The prince, also a little surprised, asked, "Who are you, and what are you doing here?" The healer responded, "Can't you tell? I'm a rooster. What are you doing here?" Taken aback, the prince responded, I'm a rooster too." The two were friends from that point forward. One day, the healer was busy eating with the prince when he put on a shirt. "What are you doing?" exclaimed the prince. "Don't you know that you are a rooster?" The healer responded, "It is difficult for you to see that a rooster who dresses like a man is still a rooster." The prince could not argue with the logic of the healer's words, and soon they both wore clothes. Then the sage sent for human food. The prince protested, "Roosters don't eat people food. What are you doing?" The healer responded, "You are right, but don't think for a moment that a rooster who eats people food is no longer a rooster." Finally, the healer emerged from under the table and sat in a chair. The prince again protested, but the healer responded, "Why should a rooster have to live under a table? Does sitting in a chair make you any less a rooster?" This continued until the rooster prince acted like a normal person, but knew in his heart of hearts that he was still a rooster. Coming to terms with who we are and who others are can be difficult. Like the prince, we are often convinced of our identity, and it takes a special healer, mentor, person, or experience to bring us to a different place while we remain true to ourselves. Learning to live between these two worlds is often difficult. Perhaps one of the blessings that comes with Kol Nidre is that we can start the journey of reconciliation and acceptance with one of the primary items checked off our to-do list. From Kol Nidre, we can check off the to-do of getting peace and having acceptance with God. Then we can hope to extend this first moment of acceptance to each other, and most importantly, to ourselves. While this is something we are supposed to do every day, we make a holy day out of this journey, and we call it Yom Kippur. Perhaps no passage in Judaism speaks to the issue of acceptance like the words and intent of Kol Nidre. As we begin this holiest day of the year, we chant these words that are meant to be both our intent for the days of awe and our spiritual destination. Kol Nidre contains the ingredients for proper repentance with God and acceptance from God. It was our ancestors' way to create the feeling needed for the last push of teshuvah, repentance. For many of them, Kol Nidre allowed their conscience to find peace. Their search for peace of the soul started with God. This passage, which begins Yom Kippur, was born out of some of the darkest and most horrific times in Jewish history. Forced conversions, torture, deportation, and murder were the realities they had to confront while remaining true to God. Difficult times called for compassionate measures to free the coerced from pledges and statements made under duress. As our people sought to find peace within their souls and with God, the words of Kol Nidre were formed in order to assuage the guilt and denigration of the individual. Its message? There was a way back to God, and God was willing to accept you. This was and is the message of Kol Nidre. As we enter into this holiday, our times are different. During recent centuries, discussions about Kol Nidre have been more about polemical battles between various movements. Many of these involved an argument over whether or not the passage reduced the responsibility of our community to the world. Some have charged that Kol Nidre is a way out of contracts and responsibility, and thus should not be said because its language relieves obligations and oaths. Others' feelings could be summed up by the rhetorical question, how could it be Yom Kippur without a Kol Nidre? Still, others are blissfully unaware and find themselves not affected by any of this. Perhaps you too find yourself too moved by the music and the message of acceptance contained within this passage. God has not forsaken us. Actually, God accepts us. And by extension, if God accepts us, and we seek to be holy like God, then we must be accepting. We must embrace the poor, care for the needy, not mock those with disabilities, and extend ourselves to our neighbors. Thus do we take God's acceptance of us and extend it to each other. We are being confronted by Adonai, who accepted us as we were when we left Egypt. We were complaining. We tended to whine about the food. We were all constantly starting new revolts against Moses and Aaron. God accepted us and decided to keep the oath given to Avram in the middle of Ur Chasdim, that his descendants would become a holy nation and a special land, and that we would have a unique covenant with God. As a reminder of this, when we chanted Kol Nidre this evening, we did something unusual. We emptied the Ark of its scrolls. Some teach us that we empty the Ark because the scrolls of the Torah stand as God's witnesses as we recite Kol Nidre, as if we were in a court of law and there was a necessity for two witnesses. The Torahs are God's witnesses. We stand as if to be judged or to commit to the words we hear. Yet there is another reason to empty the Ark of its Torahs. This is also a metaphor for one of those things that gets in the way of repenting. A passage from our Machzor reads, "We stand before you this day, all pretense gone." In Hebrew, the word for our Ark is Aron HaKodesh, often translated as the Holy Ark. However, that word Aron in Hebrew has other meanings. An Aron can be a closet that you hang your coat in. And an Aron is also the name for a casket. Thus, when we removed the Torahs from the Ark, we were reminded that our lives are filled with a choice on this day. We can choose to fill the Ark with our pretense, or we can fill the Ark with Torah. We can choose to fill our lives with pretense, or we can choose to fill our lives with Torah. Yes, that is the choice placed before us. As a congregation, we symbolically place Torah and mitzvot back into the Aron HaKodesh, the Ark. The Ark without the scrolls is just another closet. It is made holy by the fact that it is the home of our sacred scrolls. Our lives are like that ark. How we choose to fill it, with Torah or pretense, will define our days and our lives. That is why tomorrow and throughout this holiday, we are constantly reminded to choose life, love our neighbors, and make the world whole through Tikkun Olam, to make the world in the vision God shared with us in these Torahs. We have moved to the entrance of the gates of repentance. Only we know when we have decided to enter. We enter when we have decided to go beyond that which holds us back and accept the relationship that God wants us to have with each other. Only then do we move through the gates. The question for us is, can we move through all the gates? I would suggest to you that the gate to God is only the first, and probably the easiest. Then there's the gate to each other, and then the one we don't always know exists. We have to find the gate to accepting ourselves. If only there was a Kol Nidre for accepting others and ourselves and finding acceptance. No relationship is perfect. Each of us carries flaws into the relationships we have with others. So how do we get through these gates? One thing I can tell you that applies to both our relationships with each other and ourselves is that communication and understanding have to be tools. The task of acceptance of others or ourselves is too great a task if we try to go it alone. And going it alone is one of the sins of our generation. When we go it alone at the gates, whether it be the gate to one another or our personal gates, we forget that there's another side or choice. From a personal standpoint, if we're trying to change, we have to open the door, the gate, to a new possibility and make our ability to go to that place our goal. If we don't even try to open the gate, then it is not a gate. It is, in reality, a wall. And the change we seek might as well not exist. The same thing applies to our relationships with others. It is like those adjoining rooms in hotels. Both occupants must be willing to unlock the door on their side for the connection between the rooms to be open. It is only when we want the relationship with another more than the judgment or barrier that teshuva can occur. Only when we decide that knowing each other is the goal rather than knowing about each other can we arrive at sacred understanding. Only when acceptance is the goal in the relationships we have can the relationships mirror the sacred acceptance we hear God has for us in Kol Nidre. As we looked at that empty ark during Kol Nidre, we joined together to admit that our relationships with God have not been perfect during the year. And for God, that can be okay. Our question is, can we be godly towards each other? Can we take the acceptance we want from God and extend it to each other and ourselves? As we look at the ark, we have symbolically filled it with Torah, the source of mitzvot for another year. As we try to relate to each other, let us apply mitzvot here too. We should strive to love our neighbors as we would like to be loved, and treat those who are less than perfect as holy and valued individuals. We are not asked to be as perfect as God. We are asked to be as forgiving, so that we can be good people with good relationships, who share a variety of strengths. Once a question was posed to the rabbis, do the righteous have to pray with the wicked during the high holidays? The argument for separation was that the righteous might be led astray by the wicked, and thus the purest intent of the righteous congregation would be lost. The answer given by the rabbis was that both the righteous and the wicked must pray together during the high holidays. While it might be tempting to divide people into two camps, the truth of the matter is that both need the other. The righteous need the wicked, so they can teach mitzvot. And the wicked need the righteous, because without them there is no hope. This question reinforces the notion of acceptance, for no one was to be denied entrance to the congregation based on their characters. That acceptance ties into Kol Nidre. On Yom Kippur evening, it is traditional to repeat Kol Nidre three times. First, in a quiet whisper, a quiet voice, as if we were unsure that anyone was listening. The second time we raise our voice to a medium volume, neither too loud nor too soft. Finally, our voices are raised to their full volume, and in the third and final time, as if we want to make sure that those who might be hard of hearing have a chance, at least on the third time, to hear Kol Nidre. I think these three volumes are for the three gates we need to enter. The softest volume is for God. For as Elijah saw, God was in the still, small voice. The softest is for Adonai, with whom we can just think, if not whisper, and be heard. The second is for our fellow worshipers. We raise our voices as a community and join together with other congregants, as if to say, who in your life, who in this room, needs to hear your Kol Nidre? What of that last, loudest recitation? Who is it for? I think it is for ourselves. The loudest voice is for those of us who have habits to break, who know that we should act differently. The loudest voice is for people who hear this message of acceptance and forgiveness, and yet don't actually do it for others or themselves. The loudest voice shocks us to pay attention, so our ears can hear the message needed by our souls to change. We need the external voice to become our inner voice so we can move forward. The rooster prince needed someone to remind him that even though he was a rooster, he could act like a human. We have all done things wrong this past year. We could hide in shame and not arrive at this place at this time and accept that we have transgressed. Or we could realize that there is a healer who has called us to holiness and taken us by the hand. Around each of us, there is a community of people who are a mixture of wonderful mitzvot and probably have a few transgressions, who are here to return to a sense of holiness with God, each other, and themselves. All of us have some of that rooster in us. We all need someone to bring us to a different place. And most of us would like to think that we're the horrified parents at the dinner table. The truth is that we have elements of all of these contained within us. It is our pretense that keeps us from accepting ourselves and others. And so Yom Kippur arrives as a gift, a present that seeks to strip away our pretense and our pretending, to have us find a way to be closer to each other by being godly. No matter where you are, God is calling you to return. Tonight is about returning to our Creator, each other, and finding our truest selves. Leave your pretense. Find your truth. And then you will have made the honest and sacred journey. Tzom Chol and Chatima Tova. May you have an easy fast, and may you be inscribed in the Book of Life.